Morning again. Can you hear me okay? You got me turned on?
Yes.
Hello? Oh, no, it's me again. Yes. You never give someone a button they can turn on and off. All right. It's hard to get your help. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we don't want any obstacles or barriers in the way of our relationship with you. I pray today that this message may help us or bring to light things in our lives which may be coming between us and you and the fullness of the relationship that we can have. And I pray that today, if there's anything there, that you'll make it clear to us. And if nothing else, help us to avoid these pitfalls. So Lord, sharpen our minds and soften our hearts to understand and know what you're saying to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, out of all the people in the world, who are you closest to? Who do you love and care about the most? Who do you know best, and who knows you best? Is it your husband or wife? A parent, a family member, your best friend? But then, have you ever experienced a time when you felt distant or estranged from that person? What caused that distance between you? How did that make you feel? Were you angry, upset, hurt, jealous, lonely, resentful? What about God? How close do you feel to Him? Is there something or someone that is creating an obstacle or a barrier that is coming between you and your fellowship with God? I'm sure we've all experienced times in our lives when we felt distant or separated from God, and His love and presence seems to have departed from us. So today, I want us to understand how we can recognize and overcome obstacles and break through the barriers that separate us from the love and presence of God and through His Holy Spirit. Romans 8:39 says, "No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So from God's point of view, there's nothing that can separate us from His love. So what's the point of this sermon? The problem is us. That's not the problem isn't God. So God sees us his dear beloved children, for those that have put their faith and trust in Him. Our relationship doesn't change. He always sees us as His children. But you know, if you've had your own children, that there's times when they've been pretty naughty and they're still your children, but your relationship gets strained, or even sometimes, unfortunately, they reject us and don't want anything to do with us, but you still long for them to return to you. So what is affected is not our relationship as much as our fellowship and our friendship with God. So this is what we're going to have a look at today. What separates us from God? Of course, even though Jesus has dealt with our sin on the cross, we can, as I was just mentioning, we continue to make mistakes. We continue to make our own decisions and go our own way. And we call that sin. So, to give an analogy, I know my children have a shower when they come home before tea, and they get clean, but then they still want to go outside and play, and they don't want to put their shoes on. So then they come back in and they got dirty feet, and so they need some further cleaning of the feet. They don't have to wash their whole body again, because they're essentially clean, but they need to clean their feet. We still have guilt in our lives when we do something wrong, and when we let that guilt grow and build up continually, then that starts forming a barrier. Because what's the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they knew they'd mucked up? Is they went and hid. Exactly. Thanks, Wendy. Because that separates us from God. So even though Jesus has dealt with our sin on the cross, disobedience and our independence are obstacles that still undermine our fellowship with him. When we put ourselves in the place of God, it's so easy to make up our own agenda without reference to God and then expect him to approve our ambitions and help us achieve our dreams. For many years, I believed God wanted me to pursue music, and although I wrote quite a few songs and played in a band for a while, and they did a few of my songs, I never really pursued this path with any real godly zeal or conviction. I just thought God would somehow make it happen by some sort of miracle. And sometimes God does bring miracles into our lives. But sometimes sin is not just doing the things we shouldn't do, but is also not making the effort to do the things we should do. If we don't take following God very seriously, we won't achieve much, which is exactly what happened with my music career. It never happened. Or not much anyway. I started chasing after Sharon and things like that, so my priorities changed. And speaking of wrong priorities, often wrong priorities, or we get too busy, compromises our time with God. We get so busy, caught up in pursuing things in our lives, we forget about God and don't even share with him what's going on. It's so easy for our relationships to slip and drift away from one another. I know, for example, in my relationship with Sharon, she leaves early in the morning, so I choose, if I've been up late the night before studying or doing something that, you know, I didn't really need to, but I just stayed up and did it because I wanted to, then I might sleep in, and then I'm getting up just as she's leaving. And so all we get in the morning is good morning, goodbye, kiss, goodbye, nice, have a nice day. And then she gets home 7 o'clock at night when I leave to go to prayer group or Bible study, pulls up in the driveway, and I literally jump straight into the car and head off straight away. No time for even a how was your day, just another hello, goodbye, and kiss again. Then get home, she's chilling out in front of the TV while I go and do some more study or tidy up and get ready for the next day. So we spent the whole day with the depth of our conversation not getting past hello and goodbye. Then if you're not careful, this can then run into days or weeks or longer, and then habits start forming. And before you know it, there's two separate people living together, two separate lives. And it just happens so gradually and so easily. This is a far cry from what God has in mind for marriage, of one flesh, one heart, one mind. And I know counsellors recommend that couples need to spend 10 to 15 hours a week of undivided attention, not just 10 to 15 minutes a week that, if I kept practicing what I was talking about before, would end up with. And it doesn't include watching TV together or doing something with the children. It's undivided attention. Many marriages suffer because we just don't spend enough quality time together. It's just so easy to let our relationships and life slip away and be consumed by the busyness of life. What's more, exactly the same thing can happen in our relationship with God. If our spouses require 10 to 15 hours of our undivided attention, luckily Sharon isn't here today to hear that. If our spouses require that much of our undivided attention for our relationship to prosper, how many hours do we think God would like us to devote to Him for our friendship to grow and prosper? If we don't share our lives with someone we claim to care about or even listen to them, our friendship can only be on a very shallow level. But if we share everything in our lives and care deeply about their opinions and want to do all we can to please them, we will develop a deeper level of intimacy and understanding with that person. So again, we ask the question, how much do we really involve God in our lives? And how often do we have quality time with Him so we can begin to understand Him and what He requires of us? This can be a real challenge. There's also the problem of pain and suffering. No one wants to suffer or have to endure pain or see someone we care about going through it. But in this life, it happens to all of us to a greater or a lesser extent. Sometimes it's of our own making, or sometimes it's due to circumstances completely beyond our control. It's important to realise that the love of God can be made manifest to us in whatever situation or crisis we are facing. No matter what we're going through, how we feel, or how much we're hurting, God is present with us, whether we are even aware of it, His presence or not. In trying circumstances, some reject God or blame God. But He is longing for us to turn to Him, not away from Him, so He can minister His love, His care, His comfort, His provision through the Holy Spirit, whom He has sent to live with us, who comes alongside us to help us and be with us. When we surrender to Him, together with God, we can overcome the obstacles that hinder our relationship with Him and break through to the other side of what sometimes seems like impenetrable barriers. Is it ever God's fault that we get ourselves lost and in so much trouble? No. But often He can use the circumstances of our lives to train us to be overcomers and achieve victory over the obstacles we come across. And even when we fail, He's there to pick us up and help us try again. Because His Holy Spirit is with us, we are never on our own. But even more than that, we are part of a church family and no one should be left behind. We travel at the pace of our weakest member. We're thinking about how we can help each other. Paul calls the people in the church he's writing to his brothers and sisters, his children, his sons and daughters. We all have the same Father and work together with the Holy Spirit's guidance to live in a way that pleases Him. He wants and loves to be praised and thanked when we see the results of His involvement in our lives and what we're doing. He also wants us to seek His help when we're struggling, hurting, or unsure. He wants to be there with us through it all, sharing our highs, our lows, and even the mundane. And when we've strayed, realised our mistakes and repented and turned back to Him, He welcomes us with open arms. Syncretism or divided loyalties is another area we can easily fall into. Syncretism is when we worship God plus something else. We add something to God. Like in the Israelites, it was normally another idol from another culture. They picked the best bits that they liked from each culture or had a bet each way that one of the gods might help them. So some people pick the bits that they like from different ideologies or religions and add them to God to make a God that makes them comfortable with their belief system and lifestyle, or we'll help them achieve and get what they want or get where they want to go. An example is some preachers teach that the more money we give them, the more God will prosper us with whatever we want or need, like success in our career, a wealthy, healthy lifestyle. It sounds great until you read the scriptures, which specifically command against storing up treasure here on earth, and that we need to trust in God for our provision, not our material possessions. Jesus specifically warns against desiring money, teaching we can't serve God and anything else, whether that's money, family, house, career, or whatever it is, because as Jesus says, you'll hate one and love the other. And we want to focus on loving God and loving people as he does. One thing I've been hearing a lot about lately is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is another area that hinders our relationship with God through the Spirit. We might say, well, I'm forgiven. I know what Jesus did on the cross, and that's great. But have you forgiven all those that have hurt you? All those that have done terrible things to you? And wait, there's more. Have you forgiven yourself for the hurt you've caused others and yourself? Yes, we've forgiven ourselves for all the mistakes we've made. Yes, have we forgiven ourselves for all the mistakes we've made and the bad choices that have resulted in hurting those we care about and done damage to ourselves sometimes? Forgiveness is one of the keys to any relationship. And we are only hurting ourselves and our relationships when we can't forgive one another. And I know in a recent year or two, I had a dream. I was back in school and I was being bullied, and I realised, man, I'd forgotten all about that. And when I was thinking about it, that anger and stuff started rising to the surface, and I realised, man, I haven't forgiven. That's like 30 years ago and I still haven't forgiven them. And God doesn't forget about it. But these are, unforgiveness is a very serious thing. The key to entering a relationship with Jesus is knowing we are forgiven by what is done on the cross, and the scriptures are clear that he expects us to do the same. And there's quite a bit that Jesus says about it. He gives us the parable of the unforgiving debtor, the servant that had an insurmountable debt, something like $1 million, went to the king and said, and the king said, you know, you're going to throw you in jail. But he pleaded with the king, and the king had mercy on him and forgave his debt. And then as soon as he'd been forgiven, he saw a fellow servant and grabbed him by the throat and had him chucked in jail because he couldn't pay a small debt, something like $2,000. And then he got dobbed on because his fellow servants saw what he did. And he was brought back before the king, who said, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. He's not going to be able to pay it again in prison, is he? And he goes on to say, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. And then when he teaches us how to pray, he says, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And then a couple of verses after that, he says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then in Luke 6, he says, forgive others and you will be forgiven. Colossians 3:13, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This isn't an optional thing. Saying it's something we have to find a way to do, and it's not something we can often do in our own strength. I know I heard the testimony of David Meese. Some of you may have heard of him. I saw him in concert a few times and got to meet him. It was fantastic. He was a well-known Christian performer in the late 80s, early 90s. And his father was going to kill him. And thankfully, because he had become a drunk and an alcoholic, and he was going to kill him and his brother. He had the gun pointed at them, was about to fire, and miraculously his grandmother realised something was wrong and rushed in and gang-tackled him and took him to the ground. And that was the last time he saw his father. And he said he was at the height of his Christian ministry, and every time he thought of his father, the bitterness and the resentment, he couldn't remember anything good except the hate that his father had shown him. And till one day he couldn't go on any further, and he knew he couldn't avoid it any longer, and so he surrendered to God. And you know what God did? He said, forget about those bad memories, remember the good things that you did with your father. And all these things came to mind that he'd forgotten completely about. How when he was a young boy, his father had called him up and sit on his lap and read him a story. And then from that, he wrote a song called My Father's Chair. And if you listen to that song, it's a very powerful song about not just the love of his father here on earth, but the love and gentle care of his father in heaven. And how one day he looks forward to sitting on his father's lap again in heaven, his heavenly father. So if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. So is there anyone else we need to forgive? What about God himself? Sometimes we blame God for the circumstances in our life, the tragedies, the pain and everything we have to go through. It's not fair, we cry. Why? I think that's why Job is in the Bible. And the book of Job is thought to be the oldest in the Bible. The oldest book in the Bible. I think God knew how much we sure know how to whinge and complain when things don't go how we want. And that if Job could make it through everything he had to go through, then we can too. Was there anyone else in the Bible who had to suffer more than Job? Jesus is the only one I can think of who knew the sin of the whole of humanity, past, present and future, knew all the terrible things that have happened throughout the history of mankind. No wonder the Father turned his face away. I remember when things weren't going my way. At one stage, a number of things culminated. I was so frustrated and upset, I spattered at God and threw my Bible into the bushes. As soon as I'd done it, I was convicted pretty much immediately that I had been a petulant, naughty little boy, and immediately went and rummaged through the bushes to retrieve it, because I'd chucked it in there pretty hard and thought, oh good, it's still okay, I haven't damaged it too much. Because the Word of God is precious. So in summary, what separates us from God and his Holy Spirit? Sin. Being too busy with the wrong priorities that don't allow us to spend quality time with God. Pain, suffering, the troubles of life. Syncretism and divided loyalties. We need to serve him alone. Sometimes we have unforgiveness. It's not optional to forgive. So repent and believe. Know we are forgiven and always forgive others. Then we will be free to worship God and enjoy his presence and know, understand and live in his good and perfect will for our lives. So how do we apply it? As Christ was prepared to sacrifice his life and suffer at the hands of wicked men so we could be saved, he also expects us to do the same. To sacrifice our lives, our worldly ambitions, take up our cross and follow his example, to be prepared to suffer at the hands of wicked men so that our testimony and godly lives may lead others to salvation. Paul talks about thinking of our suffering for the Lord as him disciplining us, training and refining us. Now, God takes no pleasure in disciplining us or seeing us suffer. He does want to bless us and enjoy our fellowship. Right from the beginning, as I said before, God walked in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, but that fellowship was damaged and they were separated from God by their sin and disobedience, which led them to run away and hide from their presence. This obstacle could not be overcome by man, but only by God. And he still searched and found them and brought them back into his presence by covering their nakedness and shame with the animal skins from the animals that he'd sacrificed. And now, in the same way, because of what Jesus has done, nothing needs to separate us from the love of God. We are declared holy and righteous by our belief that the blood of Christ has satisfied the wrath of God and allows us to come before him without spot or blemish. So the only things that get in the way of our relationship with God are the obstacles that we put there for ourselves that we've been talking about today, such as our indifference, selfishness, living for ourselves rather than God, wrong priorities, unforgiveness, lack of love, holding on to sin, unrepentance. We could go on and on. But if we repent, hand all this over to God and learn to know him and listen to his voice, we can learn to trust in his provision and power to overcome and understand what he requires of us. And yesterday I was looking at the look up that Anne provided to us. Prayer is so important part of our interaction with God. Of course, our constant communication with him through prayer is essential. Paul exhorts us to pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion, to pray without ceasing. He says to be devoted to prayer, be diligent in prayer. Jesus often spent time in prayer alone with his Father and the Holy Spirit, so he knew what his Father required of him and to be strengthened. Prayer is so much more than just asking God for stuff. Prayer is being with his Holy Spirit, loving him, listening and sharing our lives with him. And as Anne instructs in the lookup, begin by praying in tongues, praising and worshipping. This tunes us in so that we can hear him. It builds our faith in his ability to answer. And bring our requests simply and in faith and in the knowledge that God hears us and will act on our prayers. And we had, you know, Alicia gave that beautiful testimony this morning of little Harry asking God to show him where something that was precious to him was. And God heard and showed him. Just a beautiful thing. And God wants to do the same for all of us. Because he sent his Holy Spirit to live with us, we have the opportunity to live and work with God, just like Jesus did, loving God and each other, walking and working in perfect unity and union with him. I just want to share one final thing. Revelation 3:19-20 says, I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. He wants to fellowship with us and share a meal with us. After all, he is the bread of life. He's the living water. His spirit is our basic necessity of life. As often as we eat and drink, we need his fellowship. That's why we come around the table every week, to remember what he's done for us. Because we need to be reminded constantly. We can't stray too long without him. Otherwise we get lost. This verse has been used many times to call unbelievers to open their hearts to Jesus, but this scripture is clearly given to the church at Laodicea, who enjoyed many of the trappings of worldly success, but have an attitude of indifference to God. It's so easy for us in Australia to fall into the Laodicean trap of becoming indifferent to God by being drawn away from him, by prioritising other pursuits that on surface appear so important. These aren't necessarily bad or wrong things in themselves, but can be anything in our lives that's more important to us than living with and for God. So today is the day to come and open the door of your heart to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit come in to live and eat with you and fellowship with you for the rest of your life. Amen.